And as we start this series on After the Fire, we're looking at what was it that followed on from that fire of Pentecost when that fire fell on those first disciples? Was it just a flash in the pan, or how far did that fire then spread? And the wonderful story of the Acts of the Apostles is the telling story of that spreading fire. So from Pentecost, there was a really powerful witness from those first disciples as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. 3,000 people were saved just on that first day. And what we see was a contagious wildfire of witness spreading through that early church. And over the centuries, continuing to spread, and still today, over 2,000 years later. In fact, today, 6th of June, 2021, more people will become Christians today around the world than on the day of Pentecost. That fire is still spreading. The promise of the risen Lord Jesus: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That spreading fire. What were the keys to seeing that fire spread, to see the power of that witness going throughout the world? And here in Acts 11, we have some really helpful insights. The first key to that spreading fire was this, and it's so important to understand the light of all that's been happening in our world today, that new challenges can bring new opportunities. For the early church, it was that spreading fire that nothing could stop it. In fact, a challenge was turned into an opportunity. So the opening words of Acts 11, verse 19 are that the church was scattered by persecution. Now, if this was ever a time to lock down, to close down, to feel we can't be witnessing the moment, we just need to keep our doors closed and keep our mouths shut because we're under persecution. But instead of that, the challenge became the new opportunity. And wherever they were spread, as they were scattered, they go out to Antioch and to the surrounding areas. Wherever they went, they carried the good news of the Lord Jesus. It became a key to their witness. And for us, having just gone through pandemic, the challenges that we still face, perhaps the biggest challenges of our lifetime, it'd be so easy to make the challenge the reason why we can't witness at the moment. We're locked down, there's social distance, all the other limitations that have been, so much pain, so much suffering. It'd be easy for us to feel that this isn't the time to be talking about witness. And yet for the early church, the challenges became the new opportunities. And so for us, and it's been exciting, even during this time of pandemic, to see new opportunities arising, even for us as church. The fact we've not been able to meet as church, we haven't been able to gather together, we haven't been able to be preaching, as it were, sermons like this live in church, and yet there have been new opportunities. We've discovered across the Woodlands Church, the opportunity of Alpha Online has been an amazing way of being reaching a wider group of people, people who wouldn't have necessarily come to a live Alpha, and to see people come to faith in Jesus. It's been a real joy to see some of those folk who've become Christians during the midst of this pandemic with all its limitations, and yet somehow it's new opportunities. We've found for Pam and I, with our neighbors, some amazing opportunities to be able to share during this pandemic, and the very challenges of COVID have actually often opened up new conversations and opportunities. In fact, just recently, we've invited a number of our neighbors to Alpha Online, and just talking with one of our neighbors just recently again, and I was sharing in light of the conversation we were having about how some of the things we were at the moment talking at church, and in fact was online now. The next day, I was delighted to get a text from him to say he'd been online, he'd listened to the sermon. This is my neighbor, never been to church. So there's new opportunities. That wildfire of God's Spirit stirs it in such a way that nothing can stop its spread. So in Antioch, as it spread to Antioch, and this was to be the place where they were first called Christians, what made the difference? These two things in these verses in Acts 11 are so key. In verses 21 and 24, we find that Barnabas, who had come from Jerusalem to see all that was happening, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it speaks about how the Lord's hand was upon them. And each of these times it says the Lord's hand was upon them, and many people, a great number, became followers of Jesus. And then Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit, as he shared, and a great number of people believed. How do we today experience that fire of God's Spirit stirring us in witness? That contagious, that infectious wildfire. You may say, but Rob, I never find it easy to witness. I'm not very articulate. I've never been very good expressing myself, or I find it difficult somehow to turn the conversation to where I can be sharing about faith. And I just feel such an ordinary person sometimes. But that's the key to this spreading fire. It's ordinary people finding an extraordinary power as they are filled with the Holy Spirit, as the Lord's hand is upon them. It says in these opening chapters of Acts chapter 4 that as Peter and John, these fishermen, began to speak, and the religious leaders, who were the normal people who shaped anything religious in society, as they listened, and they were absolutely astonished, because they said they were unschooled, just ordinary people. But they realized they'd been with Jesus. The hand of the Lord was upon them, and they were moving in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And there was an overflow of God's Spirit in their lives. One of the most powerful witnesses in our life is the overflow of the fullness of the Spirit of God. There's a contagious way in which that fire spreads. The third thing that we see here in this section 2 of Acts 11, which gives us amazing insights into those keys, is that witness is not just about helping people to make decisions to follow Jesus. It's about making disciples of Jesus. The Christian life is not just a quick spurt, it's a marathon. So Barnabas, having come to Antioch, seen the grace of God among them, helped many people, great number of people, it says, come to follow Jesus. He now goes to Tarsus and finds Paul. This is Saul of Tarsus, to become the Apostle Paul, the great leader in the early church. And they spend a whole year discipling those new believers, laying foundations in their lives. That sense of a kind of year team, a discipleship year, a chance to really lay foundations, and that equipping, as it were. It is for the long haul God is calling us. As we witness, we want to see people become disciples of Jesus, and the whole depth of that, whereby it means it sustains us even during those challenging times. How do we keep that fire burning? You know, just this week I had a contact from a dear friend just to say, Rob, I just feel I've hit a wall. This is someone who's a really keen Christian and really committed in Christian ministry. He said, but Rob, I feel I've burned out. So how does the fire keep burning without burning out? Even today, as we were sharing, and even as we were praying about the challenges of a fire, we could find there's a burnout. When, right back in the early scriptures, God calls Moses to a life of ministry and service that's going to have endless challenges, it's almost as if God prophetically gives him a picture at the very beginning of what it is for that fire to keep burning and not burn out. Here he is in the desert looking after sheep, and suddenly he sees this bush burst into fire. Now, normally a bursting fire in the middle of a desert, that kind of instant combustion, the bush would have burned in a matter of minutes, but it kept on burning. And so he goes over to it and he finds the bush is burning, but it's not consumed. And in this very context, God calls him. God calls him into his ministry and service, but it's almost as if God has given a picture of what he wants to do through Moses, to have a fire that keeps burning, but doesn't consume us. You know, if I were to take, I better be careful doing these little illustrations online, but if I were to take a match this morning and I'll light this match and try and see if I can keep it burning. I'll try and keep this match burning. And as the match is burning, in fact, it's burning, it's burned out. But if I let it burn right down to my fingers, eventually it would be a burnt out match. That's what burnout is like. Because what's happened is the fire is consuming the match itself. It's often when we're trying to do things in our own strength, even witness. You know, for me, my first real experience of that baptism and fullness of the Spirit came out of a context of frustration about witness. I'd become a Christian, shared with my friends, families, other people, but I was always trying to persuade people to become Christians. I was trying to win arguments. I was trying to try and make opportunities. And eventually I began to feel utterly drained. It's like as if you're burnt out. I remember one Saturday afternoon just lying on the floor at home, and those words of Jesus, "You shall receive power as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses." And as I prayed and cried out to God, I felt that literally happen. The Holy Spirit coming upon. "You shall receive power as the Holy Spirit." And I sensed that inner release of God's Spirit, that welling up. And I found a new boldness that's never left me, that sense of an empowering of God's Spirit, where it's not me trying to do it. It's not me ending burned out like the match, but rather like a wick in an oil lamp, where the oil is there and the wick doesn't burn itself out. It's the oil that's burning. It's the Spirit of God that's containing us and enabling us. God is longing for us to be seeing that spreading fire, and yet not to end up burnt out just from a burst of enthusiasm. How do we keep that flame burning? You know, Paul gives to young Timothy this amazing encouragement in, this is 2 Timothy in chapter 1. He says, "Fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." You know, we can help release in one another those gifts in witness, those gifts of God in sharing our faith. And Paul is saying to Timothy, "Timothy, fan into flame that gift of God." We need to allow those opportunities for the breath of God's Spirit, the wind of God's Spirit, to blow upon us, to fan into flame. But also we can release in one another as we pray. It was here through the laying on of Paul's hands that he'd released that gift in Timothy. As I close today, I want to pray for you. Now, we're limited. If we were actually live, I could invite you forward now, and I'd love to be able to lay my hands on and just pray. But the important thing is not my hands just laid on you, but the hand of the Lord. That's what it says in these words in Acts 11. The Lord's hand was upon us. I'm going to pray that now. Let's just be open in prayer. Just a sense now of God's Spirit filling us afresh. To sense the Lord's hand upon us. And as I reach out my hand now and pray, just be open to receive. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh, Lord. Lord, where that fire has died down, where the flames have somehow burnt out. For some of us, Lord, who feel burnout, emotionally drained and just inner draining, Lord, come now. Come by your Spirit. Lord, we fan into flame that gift of God. Release among us that wildfire, that contagious, bold sharing of our faith, like those early disciples, just ordinary people, but discovering the extraordinary power of your Spirit to be spreading that fire. In Jesus' name, amen.